Israel presents.
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Yitro, recording and first broadcast Yom Chamishi, Thursday, Yud Chet Shvat, the 18th day of the month of Shvat, 5769, on the secular calendar, February 12th. Two different significant events coincided yesterday, actually 2 days ago on Tuesday, here in Israel. National elections and our first decent storm of the year, with heavy rains in all parts of the country. The results of the elections are still up in the air. I am sure that you've already seen the results and the predictions and prognostications, and I don't want to dwell on that. We will see. I know that I gave a shiur to the folders last evening on one of my favorite topics related to Parshat Yitro, and I would like to play it or most of it for you, and with whatever other time we have left to touch upon a few other items for this week's Torah reading. But first, Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmar ya Adonai miya amod, ki imacha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro ho'cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha-makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha u'meafela l'ora, u'mishibud l'geula, Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Let's do that little prayer for our fellows, wherever they are, in whatever trouble they find themselves in, this time to music, specifically of Yehuda, from an album called Eftach Pi, and the track Achenu. After that, we will begin the shiur to the folders, for this week, Parshat Yitro.
Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim batzara uvashivya. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim batzara uvashivya. Ume afeila liyira.
Okay, Parshat Yitro, Aseret HaDibrot. I want to start with that. It's an old story, but it keeps getting better. Let's put it like this. There was a movie called The Ten Commandments. There was not a movie yet called The 613 Mitzvot. And that's part of the problem. The beginning point, I think, goes way back. I don't know how way back it goes, that there was a suggestion that the Ten Commandments, the Aseret HaDibrot, should be incorporated into our regular davening. We have Shema Yisrael there, we have Oz Yashir, we have other passages from Torah, Navi, and Tehillim, and other parts of Ketuvim, and it was a logical suggestion to put the Aseret HaDibrot into the davening also. Exactly in what context, I don't know, because they didn't do it. The point is, Chazal refused to do it, and roughly this is the reason they gave, not to open the mouth to the apikores, the apostate, who would say, the Ten Commandments is what God gave at Sinai. The rest of the Torah is what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. And in order to emphasize that all of Torah came from Har Sinai, from God, they said, we're not going to focus on the Aseret HaDibrot by putting it into the daily davening. many Sidurim have it after Shacharit as a suggested private reading with a whole bunch of other things. No big deal. Then there was a period in Jewish history, I'm not exactly sure when the use of the image of the Luchot, the two tablets, was barred from synagogue decoration. Today, that's not so. You have it on the benches and on the windows and on the Oren Kodesh and the Parochet and the Torah covers. But there was that same nervous reaction to say, Aseret HaDibrot, don't let somebody suggest that that's what God gave and not the rest. Now, there's a basis for that idea. It's not a whacked out idea. Because if you look in Parshat Yitro, and you look at the events of Ma'amad Har Sinai, Revelation at Sinai, God spoke the words of the Aseret HaDibrot. It does not say in Parshat Yitro that we're not allowed to have milk and meat. It doesn't say in Parshat Yitro that we can't wear garments of wool and linen. So one might think, well, God gave us the Ten Commandments, but the rest of it must have been some kind of elaboration and extension, perhaps by, quote, Moses the Lawgiver, which was another movie. That one starred Burt Lancaster as Moses rather than Charlton Heston, but I always remember a scene from Moses the Lawgiver. He has Aaron and Moses, and I'm purposely calling them that, who are talking in whispers the night before they were going to go to Paro to threaten to bring the plague of Arbe, locust. He said, I just heard a rumor that there's a plague of locust heading this way. So maybe it would be a good idea if we used it, you know. I didn't like that part, but who was Datan in the Ten Commandments?
David Robinson.
Yes, 2 points.
One of the few Jews in the movie.
Yeah.
I think John Derek was Yehoshua.
I don't remember.
Yul Brynner was Paro.
Yes. Okay. Now, this brings us to a contemporary issue, which every year gets a lot of coverage, and that is the widespread custom in Ashkenazi communities to stand for the reading of the Aseret HaDibrot. Now, Rav Ovadia Yosef, well before his political involvement with Shas, wrote a Shailot and Tshuvot book where he discusses the question of standing just for the Aseret HaDibrot. And he brings down the things that I mentioned before, and he is vehemently opposed to standing for the Aseret HaDibrot because of that classic reason not to open the mouth of the apostate. Because they're going to jump on every opportunity to say, you see, why you're standing for this and not the rest of the Torah? Because this is what God gave at Sinai, and the rest of the Torah was added by Moshe.
They say that for the Shira too.
So, no.
They don't say it for Shira.
Not at all. That's my next point. This past Shabbat, I looked around the shul while everyone was standing for the Shira, and there's one guy sitting, a Sephardi friend of mine. And I go over to him after davening, and I say, you know, the business about not standing for one part of the Torah is only the Aseret HaDibrot. I'll prove it by what I said before. We put Oz Yashir in the davening. Nobody was worried that people would say the only part of the Torah that God gave at Sinai is Oz Yashir. I mean, it has no connection. In fact, here's where the problem comes. If a person says the reason we shouldn't stand for Aseret HaDibrot is not to say that one part of the Torah is more important than the other, then you question standing for Oz Yashir, and you question standing for the last pasuk in each book for Chazak Chazak. But that's not the issue. It is clear that there are certain parts of the Torah that carry more weight than other parts of the Torah. And that's not a bad thing. And if you want to respect a part of the Torah, and Oz Yashir is one such part, the custom developed. I have never seen anyone object to it, because what would you object to? You would say, what? A person would think that it's special. It is special. You know how it's written in the Torah? And if it wouldn't be written this way, you might have a better question. It is the most unique part of the Torah. The column in which Oz Yashir appears is wider than all the other columns in the Torah, which have a fixed width. This is wider. It is written, the Oz Yashir itself, in brick form. Couple of words, a blank space, couple of words, a blank space, and a couple of words, leaving three pieces of writing and two blanks. The next line has writing, blank, writing, and it goes on and on through 20-plus lines, and it looks like brickwork. You stand back and you look at it, and it's definitely eye-catching, and it's definitely different. And our commentaries explain that the reason it was different is because it is different. It is the only part of the Torah that God didn't dictate to Moshe. He was quoting us. We sang that song, and he put it in. In other words, if the Torah were a book, that section would be in italics with quotation marks around it. And there wouldn't be anything wrong with that, because it is different from everything else, and Bereshit is special for its reasons, and Shema is special. Why didn't people worry about, look at how you single out Shema? You cover your eyes not to be distracted when you say Shema. It's in Davening. It's a separate mitzvah. But no one is going to say, therefore, it must be that that's the only part of the Torah that God gave. That danger happens with Aseret HaDibrot, and it's a Jewish problem as well as a problem for the outside of people overdoing God's giving the Aseret HaDibrot. And therefore, there are poskim who object to the time-honored custom of standing for the reading of Aseret HaDibrot. But interesting, most of them make suggestions about how to get around it, but don't tell you to sit down. They say, stand for the whole parsha. They go even as far as saying, the rabbi in the shul usually gets called to the Torah for Aseret HaDibrot. When he is called up, stand out of respect for him, and remain standing for the reading of the Torah. And when he finishes his bracha, then you sit down. And then already you've incorporated into the portion which you're standing more than just the Aseret HaDibrot, and you are technically standing in honor of the rabbi, which is a mitzvah, and you remain standing, which is fine. Even Rav Avadi Yosef, who I said is vehemently opposed to the minhag, says, do not be a Yoshev Bein Ha'omdim, a sitter among standers. He said, you know what? Don't go to that shul on that Shabbos. Go someplace where they sit. Or stand off to the side and stand the whole time. But don't rub it in the nose by sitting when everyone is standing, because that's disrespectful. And the intention was never to disrespect the Aseret HaDibrot. It was just not to overdo it. The tshuva that I described to you from Rav Avadi Yosef was very strong against standing, yet he cautioned people not to sit among standers, but to get out of it a different way. Rav Chaim David Halevi, Zichrono Levracha, who was a Sephardi chief rabbi of Tel Aviv Yafo, and a radio show host on a program called Aseh Lecha Rav, where people would call in questions and he would answer them, and then they would publish yearly or so a collection of the tshuva. He discusses that. He refers to Rav Avadi Yosef's tshuva. But first, he says, when the question of erasing a time-honored generation after generation custom comes up, the first reaction that I have, that everyone should have, is to tremble in awe and be extremely cautious. He said, the generations of people who have stood for Aseret HaDibrot included many Talmidei Chachamim and venerable Rabbanim who know Halacha just as well as we do. And they stood. And therefore, I am not ready to dismiss with a wave of a hand this custom. I think it's wrong, he writes. And this is how far he went. If a group of people were to come to him to say, we are all Balei Tshuva, or Gerim, and we live in a new community, and we're establishing a shul, and we want guidelines for the practices of our shul, he said, then I would tell them not to stand for Aseret HaDibrot, meaning no pre-existing custom. But it's an important thing. Now, I want to look at it from a different angle. I want to close the mouth of the apostate and the ignorant people who joined that call of Aseret HaDibrot, Aseret HaDibrot, by taking a look at the flow of Parshat, Yitro, and Mishpatim. And when you see the two Sedras together, and you look into the text, you will see that the claim that the Aseret HaDibrot is that which came from God and not anything else is a ridiculous claim, which we have to attack, not just by not standing or not putting it into the davening, but we have to be positive about it and not hide from it, and to say to anyone who will listen, I want you to see the role of the Aseret HaDibrot, and I want you to see its place in all of Torah. First of all, this is still a minor thing. You know that there are two ways to read the Aseret HaDibrot, or maybe you don't know. The Aseret HaDibrot comes with a double set of notes. The worst thing is when a Chumash is printed with both notes overlapping each other. Then it's hard to know which is what. Most Chumashim will print the Chumash in one way, and then on the bottom of the page or in the back of the book, you will have, here's the Aseret HaDibrot from Yitro, here's the Aseret HaDibrot from Vuat Hanan, in the other set of notes.
Depending upon how you are listening to this show, there's either going to be a break now or not. In either case, I ask you to hold that thought, and we'll be right back.
I'm Rod Sterling. You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
One set of notes comes out more dramatic. Almost you could hear a drum roll when you read Dibra after Dibra. And that's called Ta'amei Ha'elyon, the upper notes, because most of them, not all, but most of them are above the letters rather than below. Ta'amei Ha'elyon is not only more dramatic, but it reads the portion as 10 statements rather than the 13 psukim that they are. Ta'amei HaTachton, the lower notes, because most of those notes are below the line, below the letter. Ta'amei HaTachton sounds like all the rest of the Torah. And when you read the Aseret HaDibrot and Ta'amei HaTachton, you can feel that it's part of the rest of the Torah and not distinguishable in any other context but the story, of course. It's still important, it's still special, but the way you read it is the way you read every week Sedra, week in and week out. Now the fact of the matter is that most of the Jewish world reads the Aseret HaDibrot 3 times a year in the fancier Ta'amei HaElyon. And then you never get a feeling that the Aseret HaDibrot are just part of the Torah, which is not so good. Minhag Yerushalayim, which I happen to like in a lot of things that they do, is that only Shavuot morning, when you're telling the story in context of the holiday of Shavuot, Zman Matan Torah Teinu,
That's when you read it in Ta'amei HaElyon. When you read it in Parshat Yitro, or you read it in Parshat Vo'et Chanan, you read it just in Ta'amei HaTachton. So, to me, that's a good balance. It means that this Shabbat, in Parshat Yitro, Aseret HaDibrot is part of the Sedra, the Sedra is part of the Torah, and Shavuot morning, because you're choosing that particular portion of the Torah, because it's Shavuot morning, it has a fancier presentation. But now look at it from this perspective. Yeah. Okay, look at this. Bachodesh Hashlishi, Letzeit B'nei Yisrael, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. That's where it starts. Perek Yudtet, chapter 19 in Shemot, in the third month following the Exodus, the people arrived at the Sinai wilderness. The Torah then tells most of the story of Ma'amad Har Sinai, including what God said there. Vayered Moshe el Ha'am, Vayomer Alihem. Moshe came down the mountain, said to them, Vayedaber Elokim et kol ha'dvarim ho'ele leimor. God spoke all of these words, saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and it continues. After that, right after the Aseret HaDibrot, V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot ve'et ha'lapidim, the people saw the thunder and the lightning and the fire, and they heard the call of the shofar and the mountain smoking. V'yar ha'am v'yanu'u v'yamdu me'rachok, the people panicked a little and they stood from a distance. V'yomru el Moshe, daber ata imanu v'nishma'a, you speak to us and we will listen. Ba'al yedaber imanu Elokim, and God shouldn't speak to us, pen namut, lest we die. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am al tirao. So Moshe's first reaction is, don't be afraid. Ki leva'avur nasot etchem boho Elokim, uva'avur tihyeh yirato al peneichem levilti techetao. You're hearing God's voice. Obviously, it's not going to kill you, because God wouldn't do that to you. But he's doing it in order to impress upon you how you should behave and you shouldn't sin. Vayamod ha'am me'rachok, but the people stood at a distance. U'moshe nigash el ha'arafel asher sham ho'elokim, and Moshe was the one who approached on his own. Now the Torah continues with a couple of mitzvot in the end of Parshat Yitro, and then Parshat Mishpatim. Parshat Mishpatim has 53 mitzvot. And there is no reference here. Well, I should say it does not seem to be a continuation of the story. It seems to be the next topic. We had the account of Matan Torah, and now we have part of the content of the Torah, 53 mitzvot. All kind of social law damages and lending and borrowing and guardianship and all of that kind of stuff. And that continues till close to the end of the Parsha. At the end of the Parsha, we have the rest of the story of Matan Torah. And that's why I'm telling you all of this now. Matan Torah is not, if somebody says to you, in which Sedra of the Torah do we have the account of Revelation at Sinai, to say Yitro, you only get half credit. So if it's a 10-point question, you get 5 points. And if I were the teacher, you'd only get 3 points for saying Yitro. If you added Mishpatim, you'd get the other 7. That's the way I used to be. Students didn't like that too much, but that's, you know, got to show them what's important and what's not. Look at the rest of the story. Ve'el Moshe Omar Alei El Hashem. To Moshe, God said, ascend the mountain to God. Ata v'aharon nadav v'avihu v'shivim mizikne Yisrael v'hishtachavitem me'rachok. You, Aharon, and his sons, and the 70 elders, and prostrate yourselves, bow down from a distance. V'nigash Moshe levado el Hashem. Moshe alone goes the rest of the way. V'heim lo yigashu, the others do not approach. V'ha'am al ya'alu imo, and the people don't even come up part way up the mountain. Vayavo Moshe vayisaper la'am et kol divrei Hashem ve'et kol ha-mishpatim. Vaya'an kol ha'am kol echad vayomeru kol ha-devarim asher diber Hashem na'aseh. They repeat a pledge that everything that God tells them they will do, not yet na'aseh v'nishma, but na'aseh, which is a repeat of something from Parshat Yitro. Meaning, the story is continuing after a gap of 50-plus mitzvot that were presented there for a point, which I'll get to later. But that's it. Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem vayashkem baboker. These are details of Ma'amad Har Sinai, according to many commentaries, which were not included the first time around. Vayikach Sefer HaBrit, Vayikra Bo'oznei Ha'am, Vayomeru, Kol Asher Diber Hashem, Na'aseh V'nishma. Now, it happened. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Alei Elai Ha'ara, V'heyei Sham. You, come up the mountain and be there. V'etna Lecha, and I will give you, et luchot ha'evan, the tablets of stone, the ha'torah, the ha'mitzvah, asher katavti lohorotam. That statement here, for some reason, the apikorsim, the minim, the various detractors for the rest of the Torah don't seem to read. They say, Ten Commandments. God says to Moshe, you go up the mountain, and I will give you the tablets of stone, engraved with the Ten Commandments. That's your down payment. I will give you the Torah and mitzvah, which means the entire body of Torah and halacha, Torah shebichtav and Torah shebaal peh, asher katavti, that I have written lahorotam, to teach them. And then Moshe gets up and does it. Vayal Moshe el hahar, vayichas Ha'anan et ha'har, the mountain was covered by a cloud. Vayishkon kvod Hashem al har Sinai ve'chaseu ha'anan sheshet yamim, 6 days it was not approachable because of this cloud. Vayikra Moshe bayom hashvi'i mitoche anan, God called from the cloud to Moshe on the seventh day. Umarei kvod Hashem ke'esh ochelet berosh ha'har le'enei b'nei Yisrael, we perceived it as a fiery mountaintop. I picture it in my mind as some kind of volcano kind of thing. Vayavo Moshe betoch ha'anan vaya'al et ha'har. Moshe went into the cloud and ascended the mountain. Vayehi Moshe bahar. Moshe was there. Arba'im yom v'arba'im laila. 40 days and 40 nights. Ma'amad Har Sinai then is not a one-day flash. It is a process of getting ready for revelation at Sinai, the actual receiving of God's words, and Moshe completing the process of Kabbalat HaTorah by staying on the mountaintop 40 days and 40 nights, at the end of which, after another break for Melechet HaMishkan and a whole bunch of other things, we get back to the story. Vayitein, this is in Parshat Kitisa already. Vayitein el Moshe kichaloto ledaberito b'har Sinai. God gave to Moshe, when he was finished talking with him on Har Sinai, shnei luchot ha'edut, two tablets of testimony, luchot even, tablets of stone, kituvim ve'etzba elokim. What follows there, unfortunately, is Egel HaZahav, and it continues from there. In other words, you want to not put the Aseret HaDibrot into davening because an ignorant person, or worse, a scoffer, will say, that's the only part of the Torah that came from God. I know where that's coming from. Let's not put it in davening. And let's not overdo veneration for it. You cannot change the fact that the Aseret HaDibrot are very special. Everybody agrees with that. Nobody says that the Aseret HaDibrot, which we heard from God himself, is not special compared with the rest of the Torah. In fact, the Braita, from which we learn there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah, says, how do we know that? Because it says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe taught us Torah. Torah is numerically 611. And another two came mipi hagvura, from God's mouth directly. They were Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecho Elohim Achirim Al Ponai. And you get that idea, by the way, from the first person shifting to third person. You aware of what I'm saying? If you look at the Ten Commandments, also known as the Big Ten, also known as the Decalogue, also known as Aseret HaDibrot, you have Anochi, I, Hashem Elokecha, your God, I am your God, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim V'Beit Avadim. Lo Yehiyeh Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Ponai. There shall not be any other gods before me. But then, the next commandment is Lo Tisa, not Shmi, don't take my name in vain. It's Lo Tisa et Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. Don't take God's name in vain. Why the switch from first person to in the third commandment to second to third person? The answer is based on the Medrash that tells us that it was after the first two commandments that the people panicked. And they said, okay, we're convinced. We don't want to hear God's voice anymore. You tell us. So he says to them, Moshe, not Lo Tisa et Shemi Lashav, but Lo Tisa et Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. V'lo yinakeh Hashem et Asher Yisa et Shemo Lashav. Continue. Now, there's a little bit of a problem there. What did we hear? The Ten Commandments or just the first two? And Lo Yelecho Elohim Achirim Al Panai, by the way, is not the whole second commandment. It's only part of it. So there's one commentary that says the following. I don't know how you want to understand it, but it's there. That God pronounced the Aseret HaDibrot in a divine way of conveying it, which we did not understand. Let me just make it as a mashal. Let's say something was said in Swahili, and you don't know Swahili. So after it's said in Swahili, it was then translated into English. So let's say there were 10 items in Swahili, and when the English translation started, after the first two items, the people said, okay, we heard enough from you, now let someone else explain it to us. So who did you hear the list of 10 from? Did you hear it from the first person? Because he said all 10 in Swahili, and then the first two in English. Or do you say, no, you heard two from that guy, because we didn't understand the Swahili, and the other 8 came from the second person. He said, lahavdil, I don't mean to denigrate it with this kind of mushel, but lahavdil, there's some kind of divine method by which God transmitted to us directly the whole Aseret HaDibrot, and we probably said to each other, how's that again? What was that? What did he say? Because we couldn't cope with it. So Moshe said, no, so God said, okay, I'll say it over in your language, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yelecho Elohim Acherim Al Panai, and then people said, that's enough. Moshe, you tell us the rest, and it continues with Lo Tisa. So that, I think, is somebody's attempt, maybe it's based on Midrashim, I don't know, to explain whether it was really all 10 that we heard from God or just 2. Now, you should also know something else, and I always like telling this to people because it brings down the Aseret HaDibrot to a little more rest of the Torah kind of flavor, which I think it needs. The Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 commandments, are 13 psukim, which contain 14 mitzvot. So if you translate dibrot as mitzvot, commandments, first of all, it's not a correct translation. Dibrot and devarim, aseret ha-devarim is what the Torah calls it. Then it is 10 statements, which contain 14, or really 15, because of what Hanan, out of the 613, already when you play that numbers, it takes away a little bit of the aura of 10. It's 14 or 15 mitzvot, it's 13 psukim. Good, I like that, you know. Then, just as an example, this is a remarkable pasuk. One pasuk. Lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo ta'aneh bereacha ein sheker. That's commandment number 6, 7, 8, and 9. Four of them, all in one pasuk. When you read it in Ta'amei HaTachton, Minhag Yerushalayim, it's lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo ta'aneh bereacha ein sheker, just like a regular pasuk in the Torah. When you read it in Ta'amei HaElyon, it's something like lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, drum roll, lo tignov, lo ta'aneh bereacha ein sheker, and then it continues. It's a different kind of flavor. The psukim of Shabbat, four psukim. This Shabbat, if you follow the Minhag Yerushalayim, Zachor at Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho, one pasuk. Sheshet Yomim Ta'avod V'yosita Kol Malachtecha, second pasuk. V'yom HaShvi'i Shabbat L'Adonai Elohecha Lo Saseh Kol Malacha Ata Uvincha Uvitecha Avdecha V'amadcha V'hemtecha V'gerecha Asher B'sharecha, three psukim. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai et hashamayim v'et haaretz et hayom v'et kol asher bam v'yonach b'yom hashvi'i al kein v'yirach Adonai et yom hashabbat v'yikadoshehu. Pasuk, 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 continue. Kabed et avicha v'yet imecha. Regular psukim like you read any part of the Torah. You read it in Tamei HaElyon. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho Sheshet Yomim Ta'avod V'yasita Chol Melachtecha V'yom HaShavi'i Shabbat L'Adonai Elohecha Lo Sa'aseh Ta'aseh Chol Melacha Ata Uvincha Uvitecha Avdecha Vamatecha Uvhemtecha V'gerecha Asher Bisharecha Ki Sheshet Yomim Asa Adonai Et HaShemayim V'et HaAretz Et HaYom V'et Kol Asher Bam Vayonach bayom hashvi'i al kein beirach Adonai et yom hashabbat vayikadoshehu. Totally different kind of presentation, and I'm not even doing it justice. But that's the two ways of reading. It's definitely two ways of looking at the Aseret HaDibrot. The problem is when someone looks at it only the one way. It's part of the Torah. It is definitely special, but it's part of the Torah. And if you say, yes, it's definitely special and it's different, but it's not part of the Torah, it's different from that, that's where the problem comes. And part of it is solved in that kind of paying attention to the way it's read in the different ways. As usual, there's a lot to say, which I haven't said, but hopefully we'll have years and years of Torah Tidbits audio and printed Torah Tidbits with other opportunities to talk about these very same parshiot. Leaving a final word on the Aseret HaDibrot, if you take the Ten Commandments out of the Torah and you look at them by themselves, you are sadly, sadly missing God's words and God's message. Keep it in the context of the Torah, the written Torah, the oral Torah, the whole package deal of Torah Hashem, and then they will have the crystal meaning that they do and the significance that they have for Jewish life. That is, and for anybody's life really, that is the whole point that I've been driving at. You cannot say Ten Commandments. That's for Charlton Heston, Cecil B. DeMille. I actually saw a new DVD remake of the of the old film today, and it's a wonderful film. That's the Ten Commandments. Our Aseret HaDibrot is part and parcel of the Torah, and cannot be understood properly or appreciated properly outside the context of all of Torah. That's been my message in many different areas. That's my message for Parshat Yitro and for the Aseret HaDibrot. On that note, let me wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtamea.